This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up at him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Matthew 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled."
I don't know if you saw the news this week of the extraordinary story of the 17-year-old girl from the Ivory Coast who was on a vessel with other migrants who were fleeing their country and trying to find a safer country to live. But after 3 days, they ran out of food and water, and she ended up with only two others on the vessel who survived. She ended up being found and managing to be rescued out at sea. She recalled, though, that during her time for 3 weeks on this vessel, that just before people died, the one thing they cried out was for water because they were thirsty. And it is horrific what some people are prepared or even need to put themselves through for a better life. Migrants on vessels crossing the sea accept the reality of hunger. They accept the reality of thirst. Yet daily, 700 million people lack access to clean water for cooking and washing and cleaning and drinking, and they know what it is to thirst. When I was in for 3 months in Jamaica, we were working at a children's home, myself and another girl from Northern Ireland. And during the time that we were there, there had been very little rain, and the streams and wells were dry and empty. And because it was too expensive to buy bottled water, a couple of times a week we would get into the van that the children's home owned, and we would fill the back of the van with the jerry cans, and we would drive down into the valley to find the rivers or the streams that had some water flowing in them. And we would put the cans down and try to fill them up as best we could and take them back to the home. And we used this precious water for washing and cooking and drinking, and we quickly learnt to ration the water. That was only my life for 3 months. And we had always had water available, at least to drink, even if we had to go without washing ourselves for a few days. But the words that Jesus chose to speak about righteousness in this fourth beatitude were powerful, simply because everyone who heard those words knew what it was to hunger and knew what it was to thirst. Food was scarce among the people who lived in Galilee. And water, clean water, was never guaranteed. In the Middle East today, people still call water the wine of God because they recognize it is a luxury to be enjoyed. We live in a world where righteousness is a luxury. Our world's default setting is actually unrighteousness, and there are signs and symptoms of it everywhere. Just this last week as well in the news, you've probably seen the scenes between the fighting of Israel and Gaza. It is horrific. I watched one news reporter try to give their report. They had to move away from the camera, and as they moved away, the building behind them literally collapsed before their very eyes. Who was in it? Who was harmed? Who was killed? We do not know. But that was unrighteous. Our world's default setting is unrighteousness. Disorder, conflict, war, hate, unforgiveness, bitterness, revenge. These things are all too familiar to each one of us. Jesus is calling us, though, to a new way, where righteousness is not in short supply. Where righteousness is something that we are all familiar with, overly familiar with. He would often say, and you read in the Gospels, he would say, you've heard it said, but I say, here's a new way. And Paul, in his letters, he spoke about the most excellent way. That's how he described Jesus' new way. Since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden, when we rebelled against God, we have been trying to put this world right. We have tried politically, economically, scientifically. We've even come up with social systems to try to socially put things right. And humanly, we haven't succeeded. But God has. We have a God who reset the world, who reset righteousness. Jesus' sacrifice removed the hold of unrighteousness upon our world by taking our sins from us and taking them upon him. And then Jesus' resurrection revealed that God has the power to put right everything that is wrong, even the hold, the stranglehold that death has upon each one of us. Death itself seems like the most irreversible, unbeatable wrong. Every death we encounter, we recognize there's something not right. It is wrong. The end of life is wrong. It never sits right with us. We have a God who has satisfied our need for things to be put right, satisfied that desire, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, to live and live well, to live this blessed life that Jesus is describing in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, the blessing is on those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus does not say, blessed are those who live righteously and maintain a righteous lifestyle. That is not what Jesus says. Often people think that to achieve righteousness, we need to work harder at being better. We need to put more effort into being a better person, a good person. I need to do more to be a better Christian. And we try to take matters into our own hands, and we try to muster this goodness in us. I know I'm guilty of this at times. We try to be more patient. We say today we're going to be kinder. We try to be more positive. We try to be more disciplined. And we try all sorts of techniques to try to focus our mind and change our behavior. But this is self-righteousness. This is us ourselves trying to put things right. And it's based on the belief that I am the ultimate decision maker in my life of what is right and what is wrong. I will decide how things will be put right. The onus is on me. If it feels right to me, it's right. If it feels wrong to me, it's wrong. I decide on change, and I bring about change. The self-righteous person takes matters into their own hands to form their own goodness as they see it, and then even impose that self-formed goodness on others. If you want to put yourself right, this is what you need to do, because that's what I'm doing. And this self-righteousness can creep into our relationship with God. As we try to think, I need to better myself. I can better myself. I can do better. We think, well, I am a member of the church. I give to the church. I volunteer in the church. We do all these things and we think we are making ourselves right. We are making ourselves right and putting ourselves right with God. And yet we cannot do that ourselves. We will never be able to achieve it. That is why God sent Jesus to put right what we could not put right in ourselves, between ourselves, or between us and God. We will never be able to feel that satisfaction, that fullness in our stomach that Jesus talks about when you hunger and you thirst after God's righteousness. And it says, and you will be filled. We need to seek after God's righteousness and not self-righteousness. Our culture lives under the beatitude. Blessed are those who are righteousness. And for those where everything looks right in their lives. But Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. This righteousness Jesus is talking about is both a personal righteousness and a social one. And we see this best, this I and this we of righteousness in the story of Zacchaeus that Barbara read. Zacchaeus, in his job, was deceitful. He lacked compassion towards others. He lacked mercy. He was greedy. He was selfish. Actually, doesn't he sound really familiar to the character in the story, the parable that we saw in the kids' video? But this was Zacchaeus. Yet because Jesus showed love for Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus received this grace from Jesus, Zacchaeus repents of all this personal unrighteousness. In Jesus' presence, he realizes there is so much in me that needs to be put right. And so he confesses for the first time to Jesus. This is the I of righteousness, letting Jesus put things right in us. After this, Zacchaeus gets to work on the we of righteousness. He had stolen from others, abused his position and his power. But because of his belief in Jesus, he sets about showing that same grace that same generosity that he'd received from Jesus, he sets about showing it to others. And you read it, and what you read that Zacchaeus did is remarkable. How he wanted to put things right. But it was all because of his encounter with Jesus. Our personal righteousness and our social righteousness go hand in hand. I mean, we live under God's blessing when we personally seek righteousness in our own lives and when we seek it with others too. That's when the blessing comes. When we get those two things fused together and one. Jesus knew there must be integrity between what we say we personally believe and then how socially with each other we live out that belief. Zacchaeus' words and actions were one, not two. When our words and actions, the personal and the social, the I and the we, are consistently righteous, it is so powerful. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus equates it to the power of salt and light. And when followers of Jesus have lived out their Christian faith, it has been a source of incredible reform in our world, incredible change. Take, for example, Cicely Saunders. After coming to a faith in Jesus, she set up what we know today as the modern hospice movement. Take, for example, the follower of Jesus, William Wilberforce. For 18 years, he hungered and he thirsted after the abolition of slavery. Take, for example, the pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who opposed the Nazi government, even risking his own life. Or the beginnings of the civil rights movement through the leadership of the Reverend Martin Luther King. Or Bishop Desmond Tutu's involvement in the end of apartheid in South Africa. Or here in our community, those followers of Jesus who were involved in the peace process. Ken Newell, Harold Good, Alec Reid, Gary Reynolds, as well as Archbishop Lord Eames. They were all key to our peace process, to the reform and the change. And in this past year, Christians have taken the lead in food banks. The establishment of Christians Against Poverty, CAP, across our city and across the UK. And even just last week, we were reminded of the work internationally of Christians through Christian Aid and other Christian charities that do not forget those who do not live on our doorstep. But we don't take on these battles in our own strength. And here's where we circle right back round again to the previous three Beatitudes. And this is important. We cannot, like I said last Sunday, pick and choose these Beatitudes like a menu of Beatitudes. We have to take them all together as one great meal to feast upon. And so we circle right back to the other Beatitudes. Because to hunger and thirst for righteousness, we need to start by admitting we are poor in spirit and recognize our own emptiness and our own need for God. That something in me needs to be put right before I start trying to put things right in others. Something in me needs to be put right in here before I start thinking about any outward action out there. And then the second beatitude, when we mourn our own unrighteousness before God, that leads to knowing God's comfort and being strengthened by God. And the third beatitude, that's meekness, when we submit to God's power, and we accept that with God's power, anything can happen. And we may as well say we have inherited the earth, like I said last week. Then we trust in God and we rely upon God alone. These three Beatitudes before this Beatitude are so important to getting this Beatitude right, to getting righteousness. When these are the marks of our relationship with God, these qualities of a true follower of Jesus, we enter into this battle for righteousness like those I mentioned earlier, with God, with God's strength, God's determination in us, and God's confidence. We do not do it alone. It is not a self-righteousness. It's a God-righteousness. Of course, when you pursue to put anything right, you're going to come across challenges, obstacles that may even be feel insurmountable. You may be thinking in your head, Catherine, you've no idea what's before me that I need to put right. You've no idea what I'm dealing with. Personally, in my family life, in my marriage, in my colleagues with work. No, I don't know all the details. But what I do know is when we come up against these challenges that may seem insurmountable, when we feel weary, as I imagine those who tried to set up the modern hospice care, or tried to, for 18 years, abolish slavery, or tried to end apartheid, felt weary. When you feel discouraged at times, when you feel frustrated, whenever you can't see the way forward, we do not lose heart because we are not defeated. Because we look to Jesus and we see with Jesus, everything is possible. Everything is possible to get over and to conquer. Because with Jesus, even death itself was conquered. Each day, every day, each of us hunger and thirst. Every day. We think, well, where am I going to get my next cup of tea? Or my next glass of water? Or my next cup of coffee? Or, right, well, what time is it? Well, that's about lunchtime. I need to eat. We all share that hunger and that thirst. But a few hours later, that craving returns, doesn't it? It comes right back again. Nevertheless, we continue day after day to quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger. Why? Why do we keep doing this? Because it is so refreshing. It is so fulfilling. It is so satisfying. It is so pleasing. It is so enjoyable. When you're thirsty and you take that drink, and when you're hungry and you take that first mouthful of food. And that is what Jesus is saying about true righteousness. As followers of Jesus, we continually, daily hunger and thirst for this because Jesus says it will fill us. It will satisfy us. That's why you keep going in pursuing whatever area of your life, whatever thing it is that needs more righteousness, that needs to be put right, whatever relationship, whatever situation or circumstance, we keep going because we know with God we will one day be satisfied. Let's pray. So as we keep all this in mind as we are before God now, if you still cannot forgive that person, if there's someone you still resent, if you know you still hate your enemy, if that grudge still has a hold on you, if when you think of that situation, you feel the anger in you rising up. If you have yet to get justice, if you have yet to receive healing, if you still haven't confessed that sin that sits within you and been set free, take hold of Jesus' words now. These are words for you. Father God, we thank you that Jesus holds the key to being truly satisfied in life. Father God, may we own this beatitude today. Take hold of it, claim it as ours in whatever we are going through, that we might hunger and thirst after the righteousness we do not have, and filled with your strength and your perseverance and your confidence, we continue after it. We follow Jesus on this way. He went right the way to the cross to pursue righteousness. God, give us the same courage and the same trust in you as we pursue righteousness in our lives. And sow that seed of hope in our life, that in pursuing righteousness and hungering and thirsting, you will give us the blessed life. And from that blessed life, blessing will overflow into the lives of others. Father God, we thank you for this beatitude this morning because we need it. So we receive it and we own it and take hold of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are righteous, that you act with justice and mercy, and that you are full of peace and grace and love. God, you rule over heaven and earth, and we will all one day have to answer for the choices we make. And this includes our political leaders, who are ultimately answerable to you. Father, we ask that you would give them your wisdom as they encounter incredibly difficult decisions under immense pressure. Especially we pray for those leaders who are making decisions today in parts of our world that are in the midst of conflict. We also pray for those civilians caught up in conflict and those facing injustice and suffering. As I name conflicts in places around the world, we lift up those leaders and those people in those places to you. Lord, we think of Israel, Palestine, Yemen, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Sudan, Myanmar, Somalia, the DRC, Syria, Libya, South Sudan, Mali, to name just a few of the dozens of deadly conflicts in our world today. Father, the anger, hatred, bitterness in these conflicts is rife. So we ask you, the God of justice, mercy, grace, love, and peace, to bring your kingdom to these places through the actions of the people there. Father, as we've heard about a beatitude related to thirsting and hungering, we recognize that the world we have created leaves many literally thirsty and hungry. Today, over 700 million people do not have access to safe drinking water. And over 3 million people die each year due to illnesses related to unclean water. Over 300 million people in our world today are undernourished. And over 9 million people die each year due to poor nutrition and hunger. Father, we ask that you place this situation on our hearts, that we would be budged to do something about it, whether that be sponsoring a child with one of our link partners, Stand By Me, giving money to a charity like Christian Aid to specifically deal with these issues, or to petition our leaders to work with countries to resolve these problems. Father, our prayers for others, these prayers for others, are a call for your help and wisdom. But countless times throughout history, you act through those who believe in you. And let this be the case for us here in Malone, that we act to bring your kingdom here on earth today. Father, we pray that we would all thirst and hunger for righteousness. Thirst and hunger for a right relationship with you. Thirst and hunger for total faith and dependence on you, and the many blessings these things would bring for us, our families, our friends, our colleagues, the people of our city and beyond. Indeed, Father, we pray that the people of our church family would seek righteousness with you. Actually, that we would simply seek you. Help each one of us to become the person you intended us to be. Help us as a church family become the people you intend us to be, your people in this place. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.